Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. The Biden administration thinks climate change is the biggest threat to our democracy. Meanwhile, millions of fighting-aged men are invading our country. Our military recruitment numbers are staggeringly low. And now, even after Veterans Day, the perception of the armed forces is divided. In the Bible, Mark 3:25 says, "A house divided cannot stand." Speaking of standing, President Biden has trouble doing that and even finishing a sentence. Joining me live now is former Chief of Staff for President Trump's Defense Department, Kash Patel, my friend. Hey, Kash, good to see you.
Hey, Chimene, thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed that clip.
So if President Trump gets back into the White House, when President Trump is back in the White House, what do you think he's going to do to course correct and make America great again?
Yeah, look, from a national security perspective, when you do what Joe Biden did, which is govern the defense of this country through the radical left-wing media headline grabs, this is what happens. A disastrous border situation, an infiltration by terrorists and criminal thugs, Iran on the rise, two more world wars. And what President Trump did back in his first administration is exactly what he should do when he gets back into power. Complete building the wall, deport every illegal immigrant here, force Mexico to uphold that remain in Mexico territory policy, just like we had during the Trump administration, go after the cartels, go after the terrorists, take on Russia and take on the CCP. It's not that it was rocket science when President Trump did it. It's that he had the fortitude and gumption to take on the Washington, D.C. swamp that never wanted to succeed on those endeavors because they were too busy making too much money from it all.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about the border crisis. What's the real reason, Kash, for the intentional and government-supported mass influx of fighting-age men from countries like Turkey and Iran and China who were obviously flown here? Who flew them here, and why are they here? It can't just be for votes.
This is an orchestrated affair. This is a multi-country, multilateral effort through criminal organizations that are touching base between Iran, the CCP, Russia, South America, Southeast Asia. They are all coordinating against the United States of America for their joint interest, which is to take on America. And they're doing it because Joe Biden is bending the knee to the New World Order and allowing them to meet superior demands of America, which Donald Trump never did. And the simple reason that it's happening, I've been saying this for a long time, when it comes to national security, Joe Biden's policy has been simple. What did Donald Trump do? I'm going to do the opposite. Oh, he completed, you know, he was building the wall, fortifying our southern border, preventing drugs and terrorists and criminals and human traffickers from entering. And Donald Trump was called a racist and a bigot for it somehow in the mainstream media. So Joe Biden ran a campaign saying, we're going to let everyone in. And today we have Chris Wray testifying before Congress. What a surprise that there are dozens of known terrorists in America and the FBI doesn't know where they are.
And that's just the ones we know about.
Right. Exactly. Over 10 million people have come in, and we're to believe that only 24 of them are foreign known terrorists that you guys lost? Yeah, I think the number's a little higher.
Let's get some back to domestically. So GOP senators are pressing the Department of Justice for answers regarding allegations of spying, something you know a little bit about, on House and Senate staffers during the Russia probe, something you know a little bit about. How do you think this is going to pan out?
Well, the only way it should pan out is Democrats and Republicans should be equally peeved at this situation. They had an intelligence operation against senior staffers both Democrats and Republicans, I might mind you, now that it's been exposed that Chuck Schumer staffers were also surveilled unlawfully, for what? For political gain? What justification does Chris Wray have? And here's how I know the FBI and DOJ did it unlawfully. Just last week, they quietly said, oh, we're going to adjust how we, in the future, go after congressional staffers. That means they screwed up. And what Congress must do is demand the documentation and the people who authorized these unlawful political vendettas against me and others who led the Russiagate investigation, and they're all going to lead to the same place, Christopher Wray and Rod Rosenstein at DOJ, because we were exposing their corruption from Russiagate, and they abused the law enforcement process to get after their quote-unquote opponents.
So we've all seen the photos of Joe Biden's Corvette in his garage next to classified documents. Oversight Committee Chair James Comer finally issued a subpoena to a former White House counsel regarding President Biden's mismanagement of classified documents. Cash, are we going to finally see accountability and justice?
Look, we've been talking, you and I have been talking about this for some time. The common theme here, whether it's the Biden classified document scandal or whether it's unlawfully surveilling on staffers like myself, is the enforcement of congressional subpoenas. You can send all the paper you want out to all the people in the world, and if you, Congress, don't enforce them, then you know what happens? Chris Wray and Merrick Garland violate 6 congressional subpoenas to date because there's no consequences. You're not holding them in contempt of Congress. You're not taking away their funding. And I don't think these lawyers at the White House, current or former, are going to sit there and say, oh, we're really afraid of these subpoenas, because there is no consequence. Unless, of course, you're a Republican and the Democrats control the House, then they arrest you and throw you in prison. That is a two-tier system of justice that only the Republicans in Congress can course correct. It's also why I don't have much faith in them. So I filed my own federal lawsuit against the DOJ and FBI, because I'm going to interrogate Chris Wray and Rod Rosenstein and others in public for America to get their answers. That might be the approach everyone has to take.
Good for you. But it's sad that it has to come to that. So I'm going to throw you a curveball. You ready?
Shoot.
President Trump said he'd consider Tucker Carlson as his number two. What are your thoughts?
Look, Tucker's a brilliant man and he has a massive following. I think only President Trump can figure out who the right person is for that job. But I don't know. Maybe there's an auditioning going on right now. You saw him walk into the UFC together the other week, and I think the crowd kind of liked that. But I think it's still probably a little too early to be making that call. But hey, I think he should consider all viable options.
And we've been to the White House before. We had dinner with President Trump and Kid Rock and Sarah Palin, and that was fun. He seems to, President Trump seems to like Kid Rock. I don't understand the connection there, other than golf maybe. But, you know, he is surrounding himself with outsiders. And as the intro in the show says, it's that President Trump himself has said it's the outsiders that are really going to make a difference, because we do need to drain the swamp, right?
No, absolutely. And look, that was part of his first term calculus. He came in with a lot of outsiders, but unfortunately a lot of, as I call them, government gangsters, swamp monsters, people who were the uniparty rhino establishment class that tried to take away from Donald Trump's successes. And I think this second term, when President Trump wins again, we're going to go 100% with people who have one mission in mind, and that is to support the agenda of the duly elected president, Donald Trump. And you've seen his Agenda 47. And the advantage that people have now is he already did it once before, while he was taking on Republicans and Democrats and the media, and while they were weaponizing law enforcement intelligence against him. Just think of what we can do for this country if we have everything going in our direction. It's going to be a tough year, but I think we can get there.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about your book. How's it doing?
Thanks, Jermaine. It's doing great. Government Gangsters, bestseller since Donald Trump launched it on Truth Social. He called it the blueprint for 2024. Look, the real reason I wrote this book is simple. The deep state is real. And it's no longer, you know, covert. It's everywhere. It's in the media. It's in the radical left. It's in the rhino establishment class. It's in all of Washington, D.C. And there needed to be a book on how to destroy it and how to call out every person who is a part of the deep state. And that's what Government Gangsters is. There's a glossary, actually, in the back of the book of all the deep state government gangsters. I don't think they like me too much. And New York Times said we were a bestseller, but because we don't fit their political narrative, they wouldn't list it as much. So you know what? That's about as big of a compliment as I can get.
That's kind of like Ted Nugent not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Madonna is. Right?
He is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's kind of it.
What is going on? Check out fightwithcash.com for all information about Cash Patel. Cash, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thanks so much. Wonderful to be with you.
You too. Hope to see you soon. Okay, if you've been feeling a little off lately, maybe some headaches and dizziness and short-term memory loss, it's a thing. What else is a thing is EMF radiation, and that's what could be making you sick. Thankfully, there is a solution. Silver woven clothing can block EMF radiation and 5G from causing harm to your body. Ted and I both use Faraday bags, and they work. Unplug to recharge with Sparrow EMF clothing and accessories. Just go to sparrowgear.com and use the code FAITH to get 10% off. That's sparrowgear.com, code FAITH. Up next, a Saturday Night alum joins us next to talk about her journey out of Hollywood. Stay tuned.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hey, Ted, you know, we are lucky because we live off the land.
Venison.
And we hunt. We are bow hunters, but not everybody can. And I don't know how you feel about this, but we don't like to buy meat from the store. We don't want to encourage anybody to buy meat from the store.
It's unsafe.
It's unsafe. It's got antibiotics, chemicals, mRNA in it. But we did find this beef that is freaking amazing.
I'm not a big fan of beef, but I've become a big fan of beef. It's the best we've ever had.
It is. And if you...
What's it called?
Switch to them. Go for the beef with Never Ever Label. But if you really want to go, I'm looking at Coco in the back. If you really want to try it, check out Switch to America with Shemaine.
What's Switch that? To America with Shemaine. I switch to America with Shemaine.com. Switch to America with Shemaine.com. The best beef, the most delicious, the healthiest beef in the world.
We love it, and we know you will too.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. My next guest is another example of what it means to stand up for your values, even when Hollywood and the woke mob tell you to sit down and shut up. Saturday Night Live alum, comedian, and skilled ukulele artist, Victoria Jackson joins me now live. Victoria, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Everything's blurry, so I have to... Oh, that's better. That's better.
We can see you and hear you wonderfully.
Thank you for having me. I'm in my friend Mason Douglas's studio. We've written two songs together so far.
Well, we had Mason on last week, I think it was.
Yeah. We have this PR agent, so that's probably why.
Ah, okay. So tell us a little bit about your journey from Saturday Night Live to becoming an activist.
Well, First of all, I have to tell you, you're beautiful, and you and your husband are an adorable couple. I was just watching the beginning of the show. You guys are the cutest couple.
Well, thank you very much. It'll be 35 years that we're together. Well, now, but we got married in January, 35 years ago.
Well, I've been married 30 years. But me and my husband don't look as happy walking down the road as you and your husband did. And the clip I just saw, I mean, this is my new CD, my first time writing a music comedy CD, mostly songs, 18 songs. And half of them are about my challenging marriage, getting out the pain and struggle of it. So I envy you. But I don't really want to be an activist. I'll tell you what happened. I was raised in a Christian home. I love Jesus. I read the Bible every day. I have a prayer group, Bible study, go to church. And it didn't seem to affect my career in my 20s. I was just a comedian, and Lorne Michaels thought I was funny, so he gave me the job at SNL, and I was professional, and I showed up on time, and I wasn't political because Reagan was the president, and I felt very safe in the 80s because he was telling Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and I, at my Christian school, we had to read George Orwell, the book 1984, and I was raised in Miami, so all my neighbors were Cubans who had come over to Miami for freedom on rafts from communist Cuba. So I was very aware of communism and how the Communist Party was going to try to take over America from break up the family unit from within. You know, the 45 goals of the Communist Party and all that. So I had that in the back of my mind while the front of my mind was trying to be a comedian, have a career on TV. Then I raised my kids. But I guess I became outspoken when I had my political awakening in the Tea Party years starting in 2007. I stumbled into an underground conservative meeting in L.A., called Friends of Abe.
I know it. Yeah, I was part of it. Andrew Breitbart actually was my sponsor.
I got to meet him.
I still have his number in my phone. I can't bring myself to delete it.
I understand. I understand. He was such an amazing, powerful force for the truth and freedom of our country. And one time I volunteered to drive him from this place we were shooting to his home. And it was like an hour drive. I'm like, I get to be with Andrew Breitbart for an hour. And I think in the back of my, I think I was going to give him the book by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. And I never got to, because I didn't think he knew the Lord. And but I think his death was very suspicious, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to go back to something that you said, you know, about marriage. Ted and I have had a lot of ups and downs. In fact, I wrote a book about it, Married to a Rockstar, which I put everything out there. So it's not always, you know, peaches and cream, as you know, it's very difficult. But I think the challenge is now, I mean, who would want to be dating right now? I wouldn't.
No, me neither.
Especially at my age, I would.
I'm 64. I do not want to be dating.
No, I'm 61. So I'm just a couple of years behind you. But I want to, I want to thank you so much for finding your voice and not being afraid to speak truth. And as a fellow believer, now more than ever, that's why I have Esther 4:14 all over this show at the beginning, middle, and the end, because we were born for such a time as this, Victoria. And I wonder, how did your family feel when you started speaking out?
Interesting. I gave my brother some Trump socks and he would not wear them because he worked in LA as an architect, and he said that he would lose his job if someone at work saw him with Trump socks on. What did my family think? Well, my parents were never political, but they loved the Lord. So of course they were conservative. They're against abortion and everything. My husband, him and I are on the same page with religion and politics. It's just everything else we disagree on. But
I understand that. For Ted and I, it's politics, religion, and dogs. And I noticed you have a dog on the cover of your new comedy album. Talk about that for a minute. You haven't stopped doing what you love to do. And I love that about you.
Well, my husband rants all day about the, you know, what the news is. And I prayed about 6 months ago, Lord, please, can I do something in comedy again? Because I can't take all this sadness. It's so negative all the time. And the Lord answered my prayer, and he dropped like 5 projects right on top of me. Did not go through an agent. I got to be in two music videos as the comic relief, and I got to be in two movies. The one called Jingle Smells coming out on Thanksgiving on Rumble, Logan Seculo directed, and the one Into the Spotlight. And so when I was on the set, I kind of got the bug again, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to finish my music CD I've been working on 10 years, because I'm in Nashville. We followed our grandchildren here, and I thought, this is, Nashville has my two favorite things, Jesus and music. Mm. And I was like, I have 100 original songs. Why don't I try to make a country CD? So I just finished it. I recorded it in a couple different friends. The songs are deep and funny, and I slipped Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 in there because telling the gospel is my most important goal in life. You know, if you're a believer, we're all missionaries because Jesus told us to spread the good news.
Yep. Yep.
So that's how I slipped it in there. I thought it could be a stocking stuffer and someone might hear the gospel. So
I love that. And you and I are like kindred spirits because I'm the same way now. And I've learned a lot from watching my husband receive a lot of backlash, but being so outspoken all through his music career. I was talking with Kash Patel in the previous segment. Ted Nugent is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Madonna is. And it's all about politics.
Yeah, it is. I lost two jobs about 6 months ago. I went to my local Tennessee small town vote for should we have a gay pride parade or not. And we all got 1 minute to speak. And I used it to say, God hates sodomy. Well, you can't say that if you want to be in show business. But I said, hey, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. There's archaeological proof that God hates sodomy. And then I left them with a positive note. I said, go to Beckett Cook's YouTube. He used to live the gay lifestyle and he got born again. And now he's free from it. He has a great YouTube called Beckett Cook Show. And he wrote a book called A Change of Affection. And so that was my minute, and I lost two stand-up gigs for that. My agent dumped me, you know, years back when I started speaking out. But I'm just trying to keep our country free for my children and grandchildren so they can have freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
I love that. And Victoria, I'm a screenwriter, and I would love to work with you sometime. Maybe we'll get to work together and produce a film together, but I would love that. Victoria, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, and God bless you. You're an Esther.
You're an Esther, and thank you so much for what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Black Friday sale is on, and it's incredible. Right now, you can get up to 30% off when you use the code SALE at fieldofgreens.com. Guys, I love Field of Greens, and so many of you have been reaching out and seeing incredible results. I have more energy throughout the day, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't always eat right. So I feel confident that I'm getting my servings of fruits and vegetables when I just take one scoop of Field of Greens and put it in my water bottle. I feel better, and my skin and nails are healthier, and overall, I just have more energy. Don't miss this massive sale and get up to 30% off your order. Visit fieldofgreens.com and enter the code SALE. That's fieldofgreens.com, and the code is SALE for a huge discount. Okay, Eros Mackey holds a master's degree in intelligence from American Military University. He's dedicated his work to the search for missing children since 2011. He established Adaptive Ops .org. It's a 501c3, a nonprofit organization committed to combating human trafficking by specializing in the identification and rescue of victims. Eros, welcome.
Hi, Shemaine. It's so great to be with you again.
It's good to see you. Thank you for joining me. Sometimes I'll text you and I go, Eros, can you come on the show? No, I'm in Africa. No, I'm here. So tell everybody who doesn't know about you, Eros, what does Adaptive Ops do?
Okay. Well, Adaptive Ops is, as you indicated in the intro, a counter-human trafficking organization. And there have been, and we might get into it a little bit, but there's been some changes in the industry that have made it more difficult to do the work. And so we actually focus on rescuing families. We find those families that have loved ones that are trafficked, and we go and reunite the families that are. I mean, you have moms and dads, grandpas, aunts and uncles, and even brothers and sisters that are walking dark streets and alleys and doing things that they're not prepared to be able to do. And we go find them and then take their place and relieve them so they can get back to work, so they can start to become whole again. And then we go do the dirty work and locate their missing loved one, help create the extrication plan. And then once they're united, then we help create or connect all the aftercare, necessary aftercare, from the trauma bonding treatments that they need, as well as when they have other mental health issues. So the main focus is to help unite the families, and then we do all levels of countering human trafficking, but that's our priority. A few years ago, my wife and I felt like the counter human trafficking industry was going to be experiencing some changes. And so we decided to start operating as if there was decrim happening, like that human trafficking would be decriminalized in certain areas, but we would still need to operate and help families. And so that's how we operate, is specifically taking the place of what the families are doing and they shouldn't be.
This is just an unbelievable subject, and it's very difficult for people to even comprehend. Let's talk about the spiritual side of human trafficking. What you're doing, Eros, God has made you for a time such as this. And you're really, thank goodness for you and your family, because I've been reading Job, the book of Job lately, and there's so much suffering. And I've gotten to the point where I can't read it at night anymore because it's just so much suffering. But that's reading it. You're seeing it firsthand. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's probably very similar to how first responders deal with issues, situations they get into. If they respond to an accident and they have to pick up body parts and put people back together, it's never an easy thing. But for some people, it's kind of more of a calling. My mother worked in ambulance for 10 years before she became an RN, and she was that person that could just handle those kind of things. But I also saw her engaging in her own type of self-care afterward. And so I do that. I focus on taking care of myself after an assignment or after a mission. I'll come home and focus on rebuilding my spirit. And I can usually know when there's when I'm needing some healing, because I'm kind of losing faith in humanity, I guess. And I also don't want to do the work anymore. And when I feel that, I know, I mean, I've been in the field for a decade, and so I know that that will pass. And if I'm feeling that, then I just need self-care. And yeah. So I do that. I do that through serving in my church, and as well as building things, working on motorcycles or cars or stuff like that. And then I feel good. I feel better after a week or two.
Well, good for you. You talk about, you know, this has an effect on you emotionally. You're working in the devil's playground, so it's no wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people that get to know me, they're like, hey, I want to go do what you're doing. I want to learn. And there's this level of intrigue that they're diving into. And then once they understand it, they tend to disappear from wanting to help me anymore. And I don't blame them, because it's got to be more of a calling, because I don't understand why somebody would want to be in this industry if there was something other than a virtuous reasoning behind it. Like if somebody, if they wanted to try to become famous or try to make money in this area, or even if they just wanted war, if they wanted to kill traffickers or something like that, they will walk into the adversary's traps. Just like you said, it's the devil's playground. He knows the ins and outs. You aren't going to just come in and kick in doors and shut his business down that he's been doing since the beginning of the world. Only God can do that. And so I don't declare war on traffickers. I'm very careful about the assignments I take. There's so much prayer that goes into it for myself and my wife. And then we just take the most right steps, what feels most right. And then miracles happen. And when they do, we get to see families reunited. And it's undeniable to us seeing the Lord's hand when those happen. And that's why we do the work. That's kind of my currency, if you will, is feeling, getting that feeling of more than the feeling of seeing a family reunited, the feeling of recognizing that the Spirit helped me see a miracle and I responded to that and cool things happened for that family. That is something that when I'm driving home, my heart is bursting at the seams after a mission and just knowing that the right thing happened and I was able to be in that and be able to be that person that the Lord trusted to go do that at the time.
Well, it sounds like you're going to receive that well done, good and faithful servant whenever you do meet the Lord. But I remember the first time we talked on the phone years ago, I had you on speaker and I was telling Ted when I just found out about how prevalent trafficking is. And he heard you and we were talking about the DUMs, the deep underground military bases. And Ted's like, well, just tell me where they're at, where these kids are, and I'll get my buddies and we'll go get them. It's not that easy, is it?
It's really not. And it's understandable to have that feeling where you want to, not even on the revenge side, but on retribution, you want to see justice be brought to these men and even some women that are, they're not even like human. They don't deserve to be called a human. They become demonic, if you will. And that when they're in that mode, you know, it's scary. And I also indicated that when I'm feeling like I need to take a break, it goes the other direction too. Like if I'm feeling pride and ego, just as an example, a couple of years ago, I had picked up a girl and helped her make an escape from her trafficker. And while driving down the freeway, taking her to a safe house, I knew about what time the trafficker would be noticing that his slave, his victim, is gone. And I started feeling this pride, like, you know, we won or I won. And then I realized that you cannot see the Lord's hand when you have that kind of attitude. And it's just a matter of time, because it's really true that pride comes before the fall. And so when I start feeling those kind of feelings, I'll take a step back and take a break from the work for a little while.
Eros, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for joining me. If you want to find out more about Eros, go to adaptiveops.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Do you really know what's in your water? Maybe just a little bit of arsenic or some pharmaceutical drugs, VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Maybe some mRNA. I don't know. Do you know? Are you confident about what is in your water? Ted and I found Sentry Wellness System, and it removes the harmful toxins and enriches the water with essential nutrients. It's much healthier and cheaper than buying plastic water bottles. Check out SentryH2O.com and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. That's SentryH2O, and the promo code is HEALTHY10 for a discount. In an inspiring instance of when journalism can actually impact policy change for good, a journalist's story of how difficult it was for her to acquire pepper spray in crime-ridden D.C. has already changed policy in our nation's capital. Joining us live now with her story, research associate at the Cato Institute and published writer in the Washington Examiner, Sophia Hamilton. Sophia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Shemaine. I'm happy to be here.
You know, it's just unbelievable that you're trying to get permission from someone else to protect yourself. It's your God-given right to protect yourself and live safely. Tell us your story and what happened.
Yeah, so as most young women do that live in a city or really live anywhere nowadays, I carry pepper spray. I think it's incredibly important to have something, anything that I can use to protect myself. And I had actually gotten my pepper spray taken away. I had brought it to a concert. That was my bad. And we weren't allowed and they just threw it away. So when I got home that evening, I went on Amazon, as everyone does, to order myself a new pepper spray. But I got an error code and it was saying that it wasn't deliverable to my apartment in DC. And I thought that was weird. So I tried some different things. I put in my parents' address in Florida. I put some friends' addresses that live in Virginia and Maryland, and it would send to those addresses. So my logical thought was, this has to be something with DC law. It must be illegal to carry pepper spray. And I just wasn't aware about it until this moment. So I did a lot of digging through the DC code. I contacted members of the DC Council and I found out it's totally legal to carry pepper spray. It was just these online retailers like Amazon, Sabre, other companies that sell pepper spray had been misinformed about the DC law and were refusing to sell pepper spray to Washingtonians because they thought it was illegal. So it really wasn't the DC government that was to blame here. It was retailers.
Well, of all the things to regulate, pepper spray, why do you think that that happened?
That's a good question. So I think there was some confusion because DC used to be a bit stricter on pepper spray, which I think is quite ridiculous, but DC is quite strict on guns. So I guess this is a step below guns to them. But back in 2017, they actually did away with a requirement where you had to go to the police office to register your pepper spray. So you had to tell the local police station that you owned pepper spray and write your name down in a system. But thankfully, they got rid of that requirement. But I think it's these retailers had been informed of these old laws and were not updated on the changes and were basing their decisions on the old code.
You know, you're an American citizen, right?
Yes, I am.
The Second Amendment doesn't say keep and bear pepper spray. It allows you to keep and bear arms, should be no matter where you are. Did this situation embolden you to start speaking out?
It definitely did. I was pretty angry after I realized that I couldn't order it to my address. And I thought it was honestly a little silly that I had to send it right over the border to Arlington, Virginia, a 10-minute drive, and then kind of smuggle it into DC. I felt a little dirty. I felt like a criminal. But it really caused me to want to speak out on this issue because it makes no sense why I can't protect myself easily. Yeah. Most people in DC don't have cars. They rely on online retailers. And it was the online retailers, these businesses, that were refusing to serve me and other Washingtonians.
That's just unbelievable. What's it feel like right now living as a young woman in Washington, DC?
It can definitely be a bit scary at times, especially the media talking about crime. I'm constantly seeing alerts through the Citizen app, which tells me about crime going on in my area. But I don't think that's just unique to Washington, D.C. I think it's a bit scary to be a woman really anywhere. Even when I go back to my small hometown in Florida, I'm always on guard. And so I think it's very important that we're vigilant and that we're carrying something to protect ourselves.
Well, you should. And obviously, you know, it would behoove you to take self-defense courses and learn how to protect yourself physically as well. How can people find out more about what you're doing and get involved? Do you have a charity or are there some other apps that people can follow you along on?
Yeah, you can follow my work on Twitter at Sophie Hamilton. I'm constantly tweeting about pepper spray, other crime policy and drug policy, and really anything affecting the United States and specifically DC.
Is this a little bit of a career change for you, or did you anticipate getting more involved in this politically?
So I've been in policy for about 3 years now. I've recently gotten into more journalism this year, and I don't think it's a career change, but it's definitely pushed me to become more involved locally. Now that I've seen that I was able to make a change and get my voice out there and be heard by our local council members, I will definitely keep pursuing policy changes at the local level, as long as the federal and state level as well.
And so you said there's an app that shows you where the crime is in DC?
Yeah, so it's called Citizen. I'm pretty sure it's able to be used in any city in the United States. And it will alert you based on where you work, any addresses, your home address, of crimes going on in the vicinity. So I will get alerts about fires, about shootings, about stabbings, robberies, really anything.
It's just unbelievable that we're even having this discussion. What advice would you give another young woman who is thinking about moving into a big city?
Definitely do research on the neighborhoods that you're going to be looking into moving into. Ask people that you know that live in that city already. Post something on social media to find someone that already lives in that city to get advice. And make sure that the building that you're going to move into has adequate security. Do not move into the first floor of a building. That is never safe. And carry pepper spray, carry a stun gun, carry something to keep yourself safe, and always be vigilant and be watching your surroundings. Have a good city sense is what I always call it.
Well, Sophia, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and stay safe out there.
Thank you.
All right. Keep us posted. All right, guys, we have a brand new sponsor here on Faith and Freedom, and I'm super excited because Ted and I have been enjoying these products. It's called Kingdom Candy, and I'd like for you to try it for two reasons. Number one, because it's a great product. It tastes great. But number two, Ted and I have a little debate. I like the salted caramel crunch, and he likes the peanut butter chocolate chip. So I would love for you guys to email at shemaine.chat@gmail.com and tell me what you like. But here's the other big thing about this. Kingdom Candy is my new favorite on-the-go meal replacement. It's got natural ingredients like spinach, kale, turmeric, and pink Himalayan salt. I'd love for you to try it because like I said, it's not only delicious and nutritious, but it's available in other flavors, chocolate peanut butter and salted caramel crunch. And it's got healthy fats and proteins and carbs with great taste. You'd never guess this candy would be healthy for you. And I love how it says K, Kingdom Candy with a K. It's sugar-free, gluten-free. It has essential minerals, 8 grams of fiber, and zero trans fat. Visit shopfmidr.com and enter the promo code FAITH to get a 15% discount on all Kingdom products. That's fmidr.com, promo code FAITH. Now we're going to switch gears, and I want to give you some hunting tips. It's hunting season, and everywhere I go, people are asking me, I want to get involved. How do I start? Well, first, know that hunting isn't just about killing animals. If it were, you know, somebody would buy a building, fill it up with animals, and kill them, or just commercially, that's what's going on. Hunters really are stewards of the land, and we wouldn't be buying licenses, spending hours training, months and even years training and practicing with our weapons, our bows or our guns. We'd go to the store and pay somebody else to do the killing for us. And then maybe they put a little bit of mRNA or chemicals to keep the meat red. And then wrap it in really delicious, toxic plastic wrap. So you could either do that or you could start going hunting. So check out a hunting store near you, have a relationship with them, and ask them more about hunting. And maybe follow me on social media and check out my website, ShemaineNugent.rocks, because I just might have an archery 101 class coming up soon. Send your funny pet videos to shemaine.chat@gmail.com. Guys, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. I'm here every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you miss it, you can watch it on the replay at realamericasvoice.com. God bless.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.